Welcome to episode 250 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on Daniel chapter 6. And this is going to be part 7. And just as a brief preamble, we've so far discussed Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 to 11. And basically the story is Daniel was one of the wise men in the land of Babylon. He did excellent work. The king loved him and decided to put him pretty much above every other wise man in Babylon. And the wise men were very jealous of him. And he did, you know, they were like, where can we find an error in Daniel's life? And they could not find any errors. So they wanted to trap him in his relationship with God, as so often happens on this earth. So what did they do? They made the king create a law that no one should bow down to another god for 30 days or pray to this other god except the king. So Daniel did that and he got in trouble. That's basically where we are right now. But again, I will strongly encourage you, if you missed out on any of the other 6 parts, you really should go and listen to those. It will really help you. We've discussed way more than what I'm just saying. All right. So let's continue from verse 10. Although, again, I'm really going to start discussing from verse 12. Okay, it says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. That's where we stopped. So we're picking up afresh now. Verse 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Verse 13. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Let's look at verse 14. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of his predicament, out of this predicament. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there's a big lesson here that we should talk about. Number one is this, or I will say the big one is this. Be circumspect. Be circumspect. We've kind of alluded to this principle already earlier in this series, but I really want to buttress that point here today. Be circumspect. Circumspect kind of feels like it comes from the word circle. Remember, a circle is about 360 degrees. So a circumspect person looks at a situation from every reasonable angle. They look at this thing in a 360-degree fashion. They don't just analyze the pros, they also look at the cons. Basically, you want to make sure you have a balanced, as thorough as possible view of something before you jump in on it, before you sign off on it. Right? Like if you look at the king was not circumspect. Because these people came wanting this law to be signed. Oh, that for the next 30 days, anyone that prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, will be thrown into a den of lions. The king just heard them say they want to enact some law, and he just did not think about the possibilities of that law. He did not ask them, what's your motive? He didn't, you know, oh, let me take some time and think, like, why do you want this law? If he had asked questions, I have a feeling that this problem that came up with Daniel would not have come up. He would not have signed the law into being in the first place. And now you see, the king, before these men told him about Daniel violating the law, they made sure that they asked the king again, did you not? I mean, the king clearly knows that he signed the law. I mean, he's literally the one that signed it. But you see the way they're being very coy. Did you not? Did you not? Did you not? So they're just trying to make sure that the king is recently reminded that, hey, I signed this, so that he cannot back out of it, right? He cannot back out of it. And then, of course, prematurely, he spoke, oh, yes, I did. And then they told him what they really wanted to tell him, right? So I'm just trying to encourage you, listeners of this podcast, be a person that is circumspect. Don't just run headfirst into evil. Don't run headfirst into evil. Be a person that thinks about the particulars of something. It's better to give a decision on a delayed schedule, but it's the right decision, than to say, oh, I need to just accept something hook, line, and sinker, right? And learn to ask questions. Learn to ask questions like, why? What's the motive? What's the catch? Why do you want this law being written, right? I feel like if people just learned to be circumspect in many of their big life decisions, they will probably make fewer mistakes. And not just being circumspect, but also seeking God's help in decision making. But many times we think that we know it all, so we don't seek the help of God in decisions. We just want to be hot-headed. We just want to go with what our hearts want. And you see people end up running headfirst into evil. And then at the end of the day, you wonder like, man, why are things turning out so poorly for me? Well, honestly, that's why, right? You didn't seek God's guidance. You didn't seek God's help. You just kind of did things of your own volition. I'm telling you this, like, especially if you live in a society like here in the U.S. where you know that many things work. You have a legal system that works for the most part. You have electricity. You have running water. You have all these things, all these wonderful comforts of life. Sometimes it makes you not seek God. You're just like, oh, I got it all. Like, why do I need to seek God? Like, what's the point? But no, you really should seek God. Because honestly, you may not realize it. You may not realize it, but God is in charge. Okay? God is in charge. And, you know, there are people that I'm telling you have to pray for their next meal. So just remember to ask for God's help. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. So just acknowledge God. He didn't say in some of your ways or in areas where you feel comfortable, don't bother. No, He says in all your ways, acknowledge Him. I'm telling you, like, always seek God's help. It's like a form of humility, but it's a form of wisdom as well. Where you're telling God that, see, God, I don't have everything figured out. I need your help. Please show me the way to go. When you invite God into a situation, then He will see your humility. He'll see that you're trying to work with Him and He will bring you along. He'll bring you along and He'll help you, right? He may even open your eyes to see things you did not even consider in the first place, right? But that will only come when you seek God's help. And the thing is, God may even show you a solution to that problem that is far cleaner and far wiser than what you had in mind as your own solution to that problem. So I would just strongly encourage you today, be wise, be wise. Be wise. A wise person seeks the help of God. But the second thing, again, to bring out today is be circumspect. Be circumspect. Be circumspect. Be circumspect. Right? And one of the best ways to be circumspect, again, like I said, is to ask the right questions, but also just be patient in decision making. Right? Be patient in decision making. Because one of the things that makes people not be circumspect is just being hasty. They want to make a hasty decision. Again, whenever you make hasty decisions, many times it's going to lead to problems, right? Because it takes time to ask questions and get the answers to those questions that you want, or to consider all the facts of a case, of an issue, of a problem. Like, you see some people, they are not very circumspect, and they just let their hearts lead them into relationships that they shouldn't be in. Like, for example, you see some people in the issue of, like, marriage. You see them, they see someone, they fall head over heels. All they're seeing is the beauty, 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 beauty. So they just run head first. And, you know, some people may be trying to advise them that, see, okay, how about you pray about this marriage decision, you know, to this person that you just met like 2 weeks ago? How about you ask some questions? How about you try to get to know this person a little bit better, right? But they're like, no. They're like, I found the right person. I know, you know. And usually these people, they don't listen to other people. They don't consult other people. They get infuriated with the advice of others. I'm not saying people always give good advice, but, you know, sometimes just be respectful. But they are hot-headed, and then they run head first, and then they marry this person. And the thing is, obviously, like, when you're dating, a person is going to show you very likely the very best version of themselves. And then you end up marrying this person, and then you realize that, wow, this person has very nasty character. But at that point, it's too late, right? Because God does not like divorce. At that point, it's too late. But you kind of rushed head first into evil, right? Because, again, you just looked at the outside. You did not consider the inside. A person's character is not like a person is not just based on how they dress or how they look or whatever things they have. No, it goes beyond that. The complete person is not just their outside, but also their inside. Inside relating to character. But if you had listened to advice and asked questions, then you would have found out what lies beneath the surface. That's one. And two, if you had also sought the help of the Lord, then God will have opened your eyes. I'm telling you this, like, when you're a child of God and God sees that you're humble and you truly want to obey Him and you truly want to do His will, He will guide you in the way you should go. He said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, you know, and lean not on your own understanding, know your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Some people say He'll make your paths straight. Like, God will literally open your eyes. Even if you're like, oh, okay, I'm in a relationship with this person, and you pray about it, God will begin to show you, or He'll begin to arrange circumstances for you to see that, wait, this person is probably not the right person for me, right? And not just even with relationships. You see, with, like, certain things like money and investing, you see some people, they get super emotionally attached. They see some investment that's promising like 500x returns in like 2 weeks or something. And again, they just get sold with what they see. But again, they're not circumspect. They don't ask the good questions. Like, what's the risk of loss? Why is this investment this profitable? Why are other people not doing it, right? But you see many people, they fall for many of these multi-level marketing scams or all these bait and switch investments. Like all these pump and dump schemes, because again, they were not circumspect. So again, I think honestly, this podcast, if you almost wanted to give it a title, is Making Good Decisions. And two keys to making good decisions are, one, ask for God's help, and then two, be circumspect. Now, before we end today's podcast, I want to tell you all a story. I want to tell you the story of salvation. You know, you've probably heard me say this at the end of many of my podcasts, that Jesus Christ died for us to set us free from sin, so that you should commit your life to Him. And I've said that, but you know what? I want to explain, like, why do you do that? Like, why do you even need salvation in the first place? Well, the thing is, you won't need salvation if you were not in the wrong, if you had not committed any sin, right? A person that needs salvation is a person that has committed sin. And there's this part of the Bible that says, for all have sinned, not some, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The very first thing to consider is that we were all born in sin. All of us. Why were we all born in sin? Because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, right? They were the first people that were created on this earth. They disobeyed God. And because they disobeyed God, they brought sin into the world. And because we are all ultimately descendants of Adam and Eve, we were born in sin. And you may be like, why is it that, Divine, you're saying that I'm born in sin? Was it not Adam and Eve that sinned? How is that my problem? You know, I'm not the one that eats the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. But no, I'll give you an example. If, for example, a seed is rotten and a seed is like really bad, is like contaminated. If you sow that seed in the ground and it brings fruit, those fruits are probably not going to be in the best shape as well. They just won't, right? So, because we are ultimately offspring of Adam and Eve, we are partakers of that sin that they committed. And also, just look at your life right now. Do you want to tell me that, oh wow, I've not done a single wrong against God? No, we've done a lot of wrongs against God. Just check your life. Do you perfectly obey the commandments of God? Every single word of scripture? No, right? So we live in sin. But Jesus Christ, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross, to take that sin upon himself. Because the thing is, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. So the thing is, the sin we're born in, the sins we've committed, we had to pay that price. But we don't, because someone came, Jesus Christ. He was nailed to the cross. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried, and he rose again to save us from that sin. So it's like someone came and paid that debt for us. You know, like a useful analogy is, say, for example, you have heavily broke the law. You know, you committed a heinous crime, and they were saying that, you know, we're going to put you in prison for 50 years. You're going to do 50 years, and you're going to pay $50 million of restitution. But then someone steps in and says, you know what? See, you messed up, you know. And let's say it's like the family of the person that you cheated or did evil against. And that family comes to the judge and says, you know what? We know this guy messed up. But you know what? Let's just pay the price for him. Like this 50 million restitution, let's pay it for him. This 50 years in jail, you know what? Take one of our kids and put him in his place. And the judge is like, okay, I will take this substitution. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And not just that. Let's say this family says, you know, you heavily wronged us, but come and live in our home. Let's nurture you and take good care of you. That's like a big amount of grace that is being extended to you, the offender. That's pretty much what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Bible says that in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So literally, we're living in sin, everything, but Christ still came and died for us. So we did not deserve it, right? You want to die for someone that is doing the right thing, that is like, oh, this person is totally worth dying for. But no, we were not it. We're born in sin, living in sin, and Christ still died for us. And even showed us that grace. You know, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus Christ died for us, right? So, and he did it as a way to bring us back to God the Father. Because at the end of the day, sin separates a person from God. But if you accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross by committing your life to him, committing your life to the Lord, then you have a way back to the Father. And God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your guide throughout your life. He wants to build a friendship with you. He wants to be your Father. He wants to guide you in the way you should go, right? So if you want to, so again, I know that this may not be the best explanation, But, and you know, I trust God to help me understand this even better as time goes on. But that's what I can explain right now. So, if you know that you've not committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will encourage you today. I'm going to be giving a prayer call, and just say the words I say after me. But again, please, I don't want you to just say this because divine is pressuring you to say it. No, I don't want you to be pressured to say this. This is a decision you need to make for yourself. And I don't want it for you to be a mindless commitment. Okay, let me just say it to feel good. Because surrendering your life to Christ means a lot more than that. It literally means a lot more than that. It means a lot more than that. There are responsibilities that come with that, like, you know, obeying God's commandments. And I say more about those things in episodes 96 to 101 on the website. But if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I was born in sin and I have lived in sin. Have mercy on me. I confess all these sins before you. You shed your blood on the cross to set me free. Let this blood that you shed wash me clean of all my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Give me a new beginning. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your spirit. Thank you for your finished work on Calvary. Thank you for welcoming to the family of God. Help me to live in a way that pleases you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Lord, I pray for all of us listening to this podcast, including myself. I pray that may you give us the grace to make good decisions. Give us the grace to trust in you with all our heart, to bring you on board with our decisions, to acknowledge you, to seek your help. And then help us to be circumspect. Help us to look at things from all angles. That's reasonable. Help us to not make mistakes, you know, by not being circumspect, by rushing head first. And Lord, if there are any of us that are currently reaping the fruits of bad decisions, please, Lord, have mercy on us and please help us. You know, we made mistakes making these bad decisions. We're in a mess as a result of these bad decisions. So, Lord, I'm just praying that may you please help us. And for those that just surrender their lives to you, Lord, Lord, this is a big commitment. They need grace for it. Please, Lord, supply them with your grace and supply us with your grace to just continue to do your will and to live in a way that pleases you. And then I also pray for this week that is starting. I pray that your grace will be upon us. Your strength will be upon us. Help us to be positive examples to the world around us. And I pray that your name will forever be glorified in our lives. Please help us this week. You know what our schedule should be. You know the many challenges that are coming this week. You know the areas of our hearts where we're like confused and we don't know what to do. Please, Lord, by your mercy, guide us in the right path. And let us, you know, if you were to come this week, let us be ready. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. So for those that have just surrendered their lives to the Lord, congratulations, you're a child of God. There's really three things you need to do. Number one, add listening to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, 96 to 101. It's a series titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you very practical, very specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Number two, I would encourage you to find a Bible translation you understand. You know, for many people, the New Living Translation is pretty great. Just read it every day. Think about what you've read and write down action steps and put it into practice. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. So there are many places these days that call themselves churches and they preach things that are just not in line with the Word of God. So if you go to a church and you hear something from the pastor or whatever, go back home and check. Does this thing line up with scripture? If it does, okay, that's probably a place you should be. If it doesn't, that's a place you should run away from. If a place is really preaching things that you're like, man, this thing doesn't line up with scripture, you should not be there. So do these things and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. So until episode 251, have a wonderful week. Have a blessed week. Shalom. Bye for now.